Nigerian security forces have killed at least 12 protesters who were demanding the immediate release of the senior Muslim figure Sheikh Ibrahim al-Zakzaki, who has been locked up in a government jail since 2015. There's been an increase in both protests and the harsh crackdown by the government. But why is the Nigerian police and government taking such harsh stance against Zakzaki and his followers? That and more questions coming up in this edition of The Debate.
Members of Nigeria's Islamic movement took to the streets to call for the release of their leader, Sheikh Ibrahim al-Zakzaki, when a team of the army and police fired live rounds at the protesters. The latest round of crackdown comes barely 24 hours after the police fired at protesters, killing at least six of the demonstrators.
Contingents of police and soldiers were sent to the scene of the demonstration, peaceful demonstration. And all they did was to open fire without any previous warning. As I'm talking to you, we lost two other people, teenagers, a girl and a boy. Many people were injured and many were arrested.
On Tuesday, members of the Islamic movement held funeral prayers for six of their members killed on Monday during yet another violent clampdown by the Nigerian police in the capital, Abuja. They said security forces' crackdowns will not deter them in their demand for the release of their leader, Sheikh Zakzaki, who is in urgent need of getting medical treatment abroad.
Operation will never bring solution to any problem. It's only justice that will bring solution to problem. The injustice that is being meted continuously will aggravate the situation. It will make us to become steadfast and strong.
Meanwhile, Nigeria's Islamic movement has issued a statement denying that its members killed a police officer and a journalist during Monday's clashes with the police. The statement says the Nigerian police are the ones with guns and they are the ones firing live rounds at people protesting peacefully. The Islamic movement in Nigeria says it expressed its deepest condolences to the families of the police officer and the journalist killed by the Nigerian police. The Islamic movement urged the Nigerian government to release Sheikh Zakzaki to go for medical treatment abroad. Danjuma Abdullahi, Press TV, Abuja.
Well, joining us on this edition of The Debate, we have Masoud Shajar, who's the head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, who joins us from London. Masoud Shajar, welcome. We've seen an uptick in a very big way in terms of the way that the whole scenario involving Sheikh Zakzaki is erupting in Nigeria, both in the way the government crackdown has occurred and also the increase in protests to ask for his release. Tell us why that is, before we get into a little bit of a history check as to who Sheikh Zakzaki is and his followers, and why the government perhaps has a crackdown, has decided to crack down on them so harshly.
Well, these demonstrations have been going on almost for 2.5 years, 5 working days a week, every single day of the working days, and it's been going on and on, despite the fact that from time to time they are being deliberately targeted by live rounds of bullets. Right now, the reason that they're escalating is because Sheikh Zakzaki is still being kept in detention, and his life is in real danger. He's got a very high level of poisoning above other health issues. And unless he gets treatment, indeed he will perish. And the time is not really on his time. We are losing very valuable moments and days. And so therefore there is a lot of urgency and therefore people coming out. And the Nigerian government, which has to implement the court hearing and the court decision in 2016, December, the highest court in land ordered his relief. It said that his detention is unconstitutional, and the judge actually said that there should be compensation paid. The government did not appeal against this decision, and what they did after a few months, they said that they are keeping him for his own safety. And this is ridiculous then, and is even worse now that he is actually dying of poisoning and he needs urgent attention. And so because they don't want to release him, they're trying to create provocation by shooting people and indeed creating this havoc to sort of divert attention from the real fact that he is an innocent man. There is a court order for him to be released and he needs medical attention. As simple as that, he needs to be freed.
Okay, let's introduce our next guest. We have Johanna Buru, Peace Revival, from Peace Revival and Reconciliation Committee, or a member of that, who joins us from Kaduna. Johanna Buru, welcome. Our guests there talked about Sheikh Zeh Zaki and his followers and the protests that have occurred, of course, peaceful protests that they are demanding his release. The government in Nigeria has a different take on Sheikh Zeh Zaki, his movement, and of course his followers. Why is that?
Yes, they have their interpretation of his movement and followers. But according to Nigerian constitution, everybody have a right of association and freedom of religion and also freedom of speech. If this is embedded in our constitution, so also Sheikh Ibrahim Yaqub El-Zeki has the same right as followers. And unfortunately, after the incident in 2015, by 2016, a low court in Nigeria, Federal High Court Abuja, did not only discharge him and acquitted him, but awarded him with a sum of 50 million, 25 for his wife, 35 to himself, and that his choose a state of his choice in the 36 state of Nigeria, including Federal Capital Territory, where the government should build a house for him.
Okay, looks like we may be experiencing problems with our guest there. Master Shajar, perhaps you can tell us the appeal that Sheikh Zeh Zaki and his Islamic movement has, and what it is about that that perhaps either threatens the government or is something that the government does not like.
Well, the fact of the matter is that the appeal of Islamic movement of Nigeria goes far beyond sort of the Shiite or even Sunni community or the Muslim community. It, you know, when I was there 2 months ago, I spoke to many Christians, and they were saying that Sheikh Zeh Zaki challenges everything that is wrong in Nigeria, the corruption, the injustice, the brutality, and the lawlessness. And, you know, they identify with him because, you know, people talk about peaceful resistance, and they usually call on Gandhi's name in resisting peacefully. But you look at Sheikh Zeh Zaki. I mean, I don't know if Gandhi had six of his children slaughtered, three of them in front of his eyes, and indeed his sister burned alive in front of his eye, he would have still sort of promoted nonviolent sort of resistance. But we know Sheikh Zeh Zaki has gone through all that, and indeed is still saying that there should be no violence. We will sort of put up with the violence against us, but we will not result in violence to get justice. And I think, you know, this is actually an example not just for Nigeria. He is actually an example for the whole world. And, you know, this sort of person who is getting so much popularity, and even while he's in prison, his popularity has increased. And his followers are willing to die and to resist without violence for justice. And I think this is exactly what the Nigerian corrupt regime, a dictatorship, which actually, instead of implementing the law, it actually is in contempt of court, is really scared of.
We're looking at the way that the court is actually handling this and trying to make some sense out of it. Back in 2016, according to the records that we retrieved here, the Federal High Court ordered his unconditional release from jail. this followed a trial. But then the government has refused to set him free. If he's gone through the judicial system that, takes away his crimes, if there were any, and if they were justified and or legal, then why is the government refusing to release him?
Well, it is business.
Johanna Barrow, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll get to you, Master Shezer, in a second.
Yeah, I think it's personal to the government because we have a constitution in our nation or in our country that everything is guided by our constitution legally. And such a high status in the federal government or federal government of Nigeria has decided to acquit him. If he's guilty, they wouldn't have they wouldn't have discharged him and acquit him and even awarded him. But unfortunately, the way the government are handling issues, they are so threatened. Not just, it will not only affect Nigeria. I'm a peace ambassador, and I'm a religious leader, by the way. I have an NGO that promotes peace. They're trying to make a setback on what we've labeled to see that Nigeria should live in peace and harmony. As long as this government believes in constitution, believes in law, then they should respect the verdict of every law court in Nigeria, so that peace will reign in Nigeria. But for government to do this, we can't understand. And we touched government before. Almost the same thing happened in 2009, so 2010, concerning Mohammed Yusuf, that a jungle just was mentioned upon him, and today have Boko Haram in Nigeria. There are issues of insecurity in Nigeria, like the Fulanis, the headsmen, and farmers. There's a problem between armed bandits and kidnappers and other crimes that is eating us up. And now, if something happened this man, that his health is deteriorating every day, and they are pleading that they should allow him to go for a medical checkup, if something happened, what will happen next? Mm-hmm. And after Ezekiel, Islam movement in Nigeria, after them, who next? So we have that fear. We have confidence in the government that we voted for, and we're expected to do the right thing to the right person at the right time and the right situation for the right result.
Okay. Master Shajare, one of the things that, and I'm going to come at this from the movement itself and what the followers have said, many of them, who have said that they condemn what is going on in terms of the harsh crackdown, and they have blamed Saudi Arabian influence in northern Nigeria for the way that the government is handling or conducting themselves when it comes to the Islamic movement in Nigeria. Why are they making that accusation against Saudi Arabia?
Well, there is some leaked document, WikiLeaks document, that shows the embassies, Saudi embassies in the region, were urging the Nigerian government to take action against the Islamic movement before 2015. And then, the Saudi prince very publicly said that we have actually been victorious in Nigeria to eliminate the influence of Iran. And they refer to Sheikh Zakzaki as an influence of revolutionary Islam. And so really, it's very clear what is taking place. Equally, when you look at the statements from Netanyahu that wants to control and have influence in Nigeria, which indeed they're increasing their influence on a day by day, again, you see that this is a contradiction with the interests of the Nigerians and indeed the policies of Islamic movement of Nigeria, which actually rejects this interference in Nigeria. And I think, one thing else we really need to ask, while the government of Nigeria is in contempt of court, the highest court of land, vis-a-vis release of Sheikh Zakzaki and his wife, in same time, by admission of the armed forces in 2015, when they admitted that they at least killed more than 450 people and buried them in mass grave, not a single officer who admitted doing this have ever been brought to charge. So really, what sort of country is it that its armed forces kills its citizens and then buries them in mass grave, and then ordinary people who are standing up for law and justice, and they go to court and they're found not guilty, and indeed the court says that their detention is unconstitutional, and they're still waiting 2.5 years to be released. I mean, really, this international community need to uphold the Nigerian government to at least implement the standards that they claim to be standing for.
And Johanna Boer, that is one of the questions that remains in the air as to why the government is cracking down so hard, because this is now transcending anything based on the harsh crackdown, based on the deaths that have occurred and or injuries, and of course the massacre, as it has been stated quite obviously. And of course some criticism is that why don't they go after the terrorists such as Boko Haram, and they're cracking down on these helpless protesters. Do you see any type of relief that the protesters might get, and the Islamic movement in general, and of course ultimately for Sheikh Zakzaki, given his poor health, as our guest mentioned there, that he may be, have been poisoned, for there to be a release for him?
Yeah, actually we are hoping for that, because on the 29th of this month they are going to the court, and we are hoping that the court in Kaduna will grant him bail. And for them, the moment Sheikh Ibrahim Yaqub Ezekiel is being released, according to the verdict of the Federal High Court, since 2016, there will be a relief to the followers.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I got to jump in. Unfortunately, we're having some technical problems. So you're not quite audible there. I'm going to come to you, Master Shajar, here, and look at what can be done here. You have had Human Rights Watch time and again, not maybe as much, but looking at the records, they have come out and they have stated the case. They have said that this is unjustified and inhumane, what is going on regarding Sheikh Zakzaki and his followers. But at the same time, perhaps there's not much of an action, or reaction, I should say, coming from the Islamic world. There needs to be more, I'm guessing, a voice to come out cumulatively for there to be more action to be done against Nigeria, against the government, and for this to be raised to Buhari, the president. What can be done here, and what needs to be done in order to get this movement going?
I think there is a lot has happened in the last week or two. Not just in Nigeria, which people are coming out despite the fact that they're being targeted by live ammunition and killed, they're still coming out. But people are coming out all around the world, from India, Pakistan, London, Paris, United States, Canada, Australia, Malaysia, Indonesia, I mean, you name it, Iran, everywhere. People are coming out, and it's still, when I look at the list of those who are planning demonstrations in the next few days, you'll see that it's happening everywhere. In London, we have 24 hours demonstration outside the Nigerian embassy, and this is going on. And I think there is a lot of pressure, I'm told, coming on Nigeria from different governments. People are seeing that this is actually creating a huge problem. Even internally in Nigeria, there are two groups. One group want to, they realize that if anything happens to Sheikh Zakzaki in custody, and then there will be a disaster for Nigeria. And they want him to be released immediately. But there is another group of people who actually are so, seem to be set on trying to see the end of Sheikh Zakzaki. They want to create the environment for him to perish. And unfortunately, these two are conflicting sort of views in Nigeria. But internationally, we need to increase the pressure. UN is involved now, and many sort of European embassies are actually putting pressure on Nigeria. And the time is ripe for all of us to increase that and make sure that next Monday, the court will have no other option but to implement justice and free him.
Thank you so much for that. That brings us to an end for this edition of The Debate. Let me thank our guest, Johanna Buru, who's a member of the Peace, Revival, and Reconciliation Committee, who was talking to us from Kaduna. Also, thank you very much, Master Shajare, from the Islamic Human Rights Commission, who spoke to us from London. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitale, my entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.